The Angry Chicken is a production of amove.tv. Check out Amove TV for more podcasts covering Blizzard games. And for more of Jocelyn's gaming podcasts, visit jossplays.com. The Angry Chicken is brought to you by our legendary patrons over at patreon.com/TAC.
Time's up. Let's do this.
You smell like a leper gnome!
I knew it!
So hot!
A podcast about Hearthstone and Battlegrounds. This is The Angry Chicken!
Greetings and welcome back, everyone. This is Indeed Tech. I'm Garrett Weinzerl here, as always, with Jocelyn Carney and Ridiculous Hat. Welcome back, you two.
Woohoo! Woo-hoo. I'm so glad to be here. It's just a good week at Hearthstone, guys. We just get to talk about cards. I'm stoked.
I am not used to having to regularly introduce people by their handle. I apologize if I slip with your real name at some point.
It'll be cool.
I was talking to Jocelyn. It's actually not a real name.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Ah, the old Angry Chicken switcheroo. I see what you're doing there.
It's another week in Hearthstone as we sit and wonder what could possibly be on the horizon. The nerfs have come. The balance has been restored, and by balance I mean if you wanted something different than only two decks ever being played on ladder, we definitely got the complete and utter opposite of that. I see a lot of different archetypes. There's some trends. Don't get me wrong, Paladin Hunter. But
yeah, Paladin Hunter Mage haven't gone anywhere, which, like, it is what it is. But, there's some others.
That's the question.
There's, like, some room. Yep. Oh, man, I went up against this Paladin today who I'm not even sure what the card was, but it's every time you cast a holy spell, it summons a 2/2 with lifesteal. Man, that Veteran thing was annoying. Warmack. There you go. Thanks, Hat. I was just like, wait, what is that? What is this guy doing? No, he's at 6 health. What? No, that's cheating.
Yeah. Can we say it? So over the history of Hearthstone, like, the majority of it has been Hunter has enjoyed just a million playable ladder climbing archetypes most of the time. Is Paladin the new Hunter? That's my clickbait question I pose to my lovely fellow hosts.
I mean, it's definitely robust, right? Like, there's a couple of ways. Well, I don't even know. There's kind of like the same core almost, and then you put a little bit of more aggressive stuff in, or you put a little bit more of, like, save yourself and make it to late game stuff. Like, it's still kind of the same. I don't know.
Jocelyn,
I
feel like there is a deck that Hat told me to play that isn't even running the damn weapon.
Well, yeah, but it's still, like, a lot of them are still playing the Librams, right? Which is kind of like the core I'm thinking about right now.
What if I told you that the list I've been playing also isn't running Librams?
What?
And what if I told you I've actually gotten wins with this deck?
Whoa, parallel dimension.
What?
Just kidding, Garrett. You can win. You can win just fine. But yeah, it's...
No, dude, I've been having a rough go of it. We've been having some discussions this week. I, you know, just can't seem to, like, consistently pick up wins. But I, you know, the more I talk amongst you and our Discord, the more it kind of seems like we're in a more wider reaching meta where it's kind of hard to target in on things, but also at the same time, like, there's pocket metas depending on your, I'm going to use quotations, MMR. Because we don't know what our MMR is.
Yeah, that's true.
We can't be trusted with our MMR.
Why do you keep saying it like that?
Audio listeners, every time Garrett pauses like that, he is holding up air quotes. Your suspicions are correct. Those are air quotes you're hearing. And yeah, it's, and I don't even know if it's a pocket meta so much as when a meta is this wide open, no one person is going to have the same experience because you're just, it's up to luck of the draw. And even the most popular decks I'm facing are maybe 10% of my opponents. It's the amount of variance possible there with the things that people are trying means that you might see some trends individually, and then you might talk to somebody else and say, wow, I can't believe how much Rush Worry I'm seeing. And then they say, I have not seen it once. And that's just a common thing that happens.
Yeah, I'm seeing, you're right, like it's kind of stuff that's all over the map right now. I mean, I'm seeing probably more Druid than anything else, but then I'm like, I go into the game and I'm like, okay, so I'm playing Druid. All right, they're going to be tokeny stuff. And then all of a sudden they're like big stuff. And I'm like, no, what are you doing? You're supposed to be tokens. I've definitely seen at least two different Druid archetypes. And then within those archetypes, just wild, wild card choices.
Yeah. Like some people are out there still overgrowthing and you can clown it.
Yeah.
You can clown if you want to clown. You can do that. Hunter seems to be, there are a couple different variations, but the core is about the same with Hunter. Like it's, you have to decide, am I Lee or Roxing or am I Tame Beasting or whatever?
Am I scrapshotting?
Are you scrapshotting? You could scrap a shot. You could do that.
I believe the last time I looked, the most played deck list had scrapshot. And yet I think today was the first time I saw it played against me. Like, so yeah.
Yeah. It's, there are a bunch of different classes have a bunch of things to do. There are some classes that I think are a little bit more one note, in particular Warlock. If you're Warlocking, you are playing Jiraxxus. And I don't know about the rest of your deck, but I know it's Jiraxxus. And how do I survive till I do that? And you are not playing Flame Imp. Sorry, Zoo. I'm sorry. Your time will come.
They're kind of like control-y.
Yes.
And they're That's ticket. Removable. They're ticket to sing.
And you don't have to ticket us. You could ticket us, but also you can. I tried a different list that was running Void Drinkers and Flush Giants, and isn't running the Corrupt package at all. And you can do that, but you're still playing Jiraxxus because Jiraxxus beats Priest by itself. And who doesn't love the J Man? Who doesn't love hanging out with the J Man?
It's been kind of a while since he's been played, right?
So, Hat, you're now a permanent host, in case anyone missed last week's episode. Also, in case anyone missed last week's episode, we are now planning to record Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So, to the folks on Twitter right now, I'm looking at you, Lance, going, but it's Monday. Yes. Yes, it is.
It is Monday.
It is Monday.
Lance, you are correct.
The reason I point out that you are now a permanent host, I believe we can give retooled Jiraxxus to be the first instance of the Angry Chicken's Hat Was Right. You were calling this shot the first time we looked at new Jiraxxus in the reveal season, and I do believe more than once I said, yeah, well, I mean, maybe we'll see if Jiraxxus is good enough to go in, and you were just like, no, I'm playing Jiraxxus.
Well, no, that wasn't Hat Was Right. That was Hat makes emotional decisions that are later justified.
No,
it's not the same thing.
I would say you're new here, but you're not. So I would just say that's how it works, Hat. That's how it works.
Okay. In that case, I'm taking credit for Illidari Inquisitor, also known as Green Rag, because I said, man, this card seems good. And then the first time I played it. It has Rush on the card for some reason. And then you smash Nuatan, and then you attack with a weapon, you go face, and you smash in the face. And that's a two smashes for one. It's double smash.
I just want a smash burger now.
Do you not
usually? What's a smash burger?
It's the burger you should be eating.
Okay.
When you make it, it's like the really thin style of patties that when you make it, you press down on it and you cook it super fast at high heat.
It's the crispy edges. You ever eaten it like a Steak and Shake? I'm out.
It's not dissimilar to how McDonald's does their patties, right? If you have a McDouble, you have the two thin patties. It's like that, except not like mass market.
but
not like that mass market.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm not a burger hipster. I can get down with a McDonald's burger, but imagine that. But like you mean to get it again, as opposed to it's convenient and you're in a hurry.
That's okay.
That's yeah. Anyways, How do we end up on this? That's right.
I don't know.
Smashing. You mentioned the word smash right, multiple times.
Yeah. Much like the pre-show.
And even though I just had dinner, I want a smash burger.
You that's can how good still go for a burger.
Are. That's how good they oh, are.
Yeah. I don't have that's to be hungry to eat a burger.
Good.
You don't have to be hungry. Just eat one. Just have one.
Well, anyways, we've got a big AMA for Mixer to go through. Before we do that, we do want to thank those of you supporting us on our Patreon. You should go check it out. It's over at patreon.com/TAC. That's how you can support this program. We are an independent program. Despite what you've heard, we are not paid by Blizzard. And despite how much we ask Blizzard to pay us, they still won't. So I have a feeling it has something to do
no.
with the things I've said about Bobby Kotick. That's what I think it might have something to do. That's the only reason. That's the only reason, clearly.
Yeah, I'm sure it really hurt his feelings that he could hear over his millions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, well, you know, he paid for the extra soundproofing on his seventh yacht, so. Yeah. If you'd like to help us get our first yacht, go to patreon.com/TAC and become a patron. You'll get access to our Discord. You'll get an ad-free version of the show. And as I mentioned last week, folks seem pretty stoked that Hat has joined us. And also, thank you so much. People seem stoked on you, Hat. And we've gotten a nice wave of patrons. And so until we get caught up, going to do 5 a week. If we don't hear your name, I have logged you. You are in a spreadsheet. I am meticulous about this. I will thank you eventually. But this week, in order that they signed up, thank you so much to Stevensville Gamers. That almost sounds like a group maybe you could find on a Facebook or something. Maybe it's a podcast. I don't know, but maybe go Google
maybe it's a fireside
gamers. Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Also, thank you to Fairy of Snow.
That's not me, incognito, I promise.
No, it isn't. It isn't. It'll be Unicorn and Snow. People get those confused. But I believe Fairy of Snow is your cousin or something like
yeah.
that. Fred the Lifeguard, who can save my life anytime. Ryan McElmore and Daniel Glutch. Thank you very much for becoming patrons, everybody. Go check it out, patreon.com/TAC. And we're going to have a talk about taco because we're back over the taco level. So,
yay, taco, not tacos.
Can I have avocado on mine?
As long as I don't have to have cilantro on mine.
Yay, anti-cilantro team.
Yay, it tastes like soap.
It does.
If you're unaware of that, that's the Angry Chicken Open. That's our community tournaments that we do when we're over a certain level on Patreon, and we are back over that level. So that's great. That's good news. Some might say it's good news. I say it's
good news, everyone.
Oh, no. All right, let's dive into the 6R AMA. There's a lot. Thank you very much for doing highlights. Hat or Jocelyn? I'm sorry, I don't know which one of you did highlights.
He's actually started numbering them now, which is awesome.
Oh, God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Glad he's keeping track.
XR, honestly, like this show, you know, sometimes it's a lot of work. Could I just start recanting your AMAs like word for word? I'll just read them off in audio and those will be the new episodes of The Angry Chicken. Could we?
This is what a slow news week looks like.
Yes.
So now we have XR AMAs to talk about until frankly, they give us a patch.
For the love of God, thank you. Thank you for like giving us a week to like breathe and see how things kind of shake out. It's nice. It's nice. It's also not, I mean, they took a week, I guess, between nerfing Mage, but this is nicer because there's not Mage to contend with. Anyway, we're actually going to start off talking about Battlegrounds because it's just been so damn long since it's been anything worth talking about. I mean, Battlegrounds is so quiet right now. I didn't see Slissa stream over the weekend. I mean, that's how
Slissa
quiet
was at a wedding. She was away.
That was the joke. Yeah.
Oh. But yeah, I mean, I've seen a couple of streamers say like, hey, I'm going to move on to Constructed or whatever because it's getting pretty stale in Battlegrounds. And I think it's just because like this time of year, if they stick to their, you know, 0.4 patches or wherever they've been sticking the Battlegrounds updates, like this time of year is kind of the longest span that we go without Hearthstone content, right? Like the fall expansion comes out in like October, November, then we don't get anything else until like March, April, right? So it's kind of a bigger gap. So I think this is just why Battlegrounds is feeling a little bit blah right now, is we're waiting longer for content than we usually have. So,
and there's some behind the scenes stuff going on too. So the cadence, and Ixar has alluded to this a couple times, what they're generally looking for is 0.0 is the set releases of any patches, and 0.4 is the mini sets. 0.2 is the big Battlegrounds expansion of like the
point
big
two. Large, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. And then 0.6 is whatever they want to do at any given point. So it's been duels, and it's been they did something else in 0.6 before some other game mode. I forget what it was. So 0.6, they're aiming for that to be the Battlegrounds mini set equivalent at some point. And they did like the taunts, I think, mm-hmm. That's when they put taunts out. But they kind of messed up with Darkmoon Prize because it was way better than they expected and way better than we expected, and it was super fun. And also, they're
reorganizing the Battlegrounds. Well, and they took it out in the 0.6, right? They
correct.
Prizes yeah. came out in 0.6 in the last set, whatever that was.
Yeah, and there's something. I have two thoughts here. One, remind me to say my thought about prizes being removed. The first thing I want to address is that, you're absolutely correct, Hat. Like about the fact that Ixar has been, and the team as a whole has just been very, very clear and very transparent about what their content rollout plans for Battlegrounds is. But at the same time, I think with what we're about to talk about, and also just like my feelings, and I also see this echoed in the community, is that Battlegrounds players don't think it's enough. So that like that's where I'm at. I'm like, yeah, I understand what their goal is. I want more though. Like more and more.
I think
often.
They just this time with taking the prizes out, I think they probably should have just left them in until they were replacing them with something else, or until they had more content to put in there somehow, whatever that looks like, right? They just kind of like took something away, and then so the game mode got a little simpler, and then they haven't done anything with it since then. And that's been months now. So
yeah. And the simpler, that ties into what I wanted you to remind me, to bring up prizes, which is like prizes really felt like a new just part of the way we play Battlegrounds. Like it was a whole new phase. It was a whole new thing to just keep in the back of your mind. And it affected each and every single game of Battlegrounds that you played. And so when it was removed, it did feel like, and I think it also beyond feel, it did just remove complexity from the mode. Mm-hmm. And so by virtue of not having it anymore, it just seems more basic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this correlates with the person who made Battlegrounds leaving the Battlegrounds team. The timing is the same because from the AMA, from what we can tell, Ixar also agrees that it's not enough and they want to do more, and that the game it's a game by itself and it's hugely popular. Keep in mind, do you remember how long it's been since it came out? It came out
November 2019. It's been a year and a half, right?
Yeah, yeah. November 2019, which was 4 months before the pandemic. It hasn't really been that long. And since then, they've released Dragons, Pirates, and Elementals. And Dragons was March. They made a new game mode with an expansion basically right at the expansion cadence. And they kept up with expansions every 4 months since the game came out. That's a pretty good ramp up. But there's still so much more to do. I just don't think that anybody, including the players or the company, expected this to be so popular. Battlegrounds is why Blizzard and Team 5 have transitioned from making a game to making a platform, because it blew everybody away in a really major way.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things Ixar actually mentioned in the AMA was a comment about Battlegrounds saying how popular it was, that it would be a top 5 to 10 game on Steam most days just by itself. It's like just people playing Battlegrounds. If you could play it on Steam, it would be in the top 10 every day. Like
that's insane. Insane number.
That's really good. So, I mean, it is super popular. Go ahead.
The only thing, like, and I love Ixar, but I want to poke fun at this just a little bit, because just the thing that makes me giggle here is Battlegrounds is a lot more popular than people realize. I'm like, no, I realize it.
Yeah.
I definitely realize it. Twitch realizes it. Like, yeah. Yeah. No, it is wildly popular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I wouldn't go as far as to say everyone loves it, because we have certainly people who get furious when we talk about anything other than Constructed Hearthstone on this program, but for the most part, there's an our small community, there's a huge amount of folks that love it in conjunction with other modes from Hearthstone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that that they're kind of like recognizing the popularity of the mode in like their design and engineering and everything else. And he did say that they're like ramping stuff up to support it more. He says he expects it to increase over the next 12 to 18 months. But I think, Garrett, to say to your point about, you know, yourself and the community and everybody who's kind of playing a lot of Battlegrounds is like, I don't want to wait like 12 months for you to ramp up support. Like it has seemed like a little bit lackluster lately.
Yeah. And he did say in response to a solicit tweet that 12 to 18 months worth of plans doesn't mean the first step is 12 to 18 months out. So I imagine we'll see some of the fruits of this labor in the near future. Yeah. But also the thing about BGs that is the most striking to me right now is that if I were to recommend Hearthstone as a new game to someone that had never logged into the client, Battlegrounds is the most accessible by a large margin. It's where it would send people first. And also, it is the mode with the least effective monetization. So you can be sure they are figuring something out so that they can get money from the people that play the game all day. Because right now it is embarrassingly free to play. And the business probably says, so why do we keep putting resources into this mode that you don't know how to get money for?
I'm sure
they're working on it.
That is such. Thank you, Had, for bringing the hard to swallow pills, man.
Yeah.
Like Jesus, you're totally right. You're totally like, we don't like talking about this. We don't like talking about the fact that like, if we want the ways that we play games to get support, the ends have to justify the means. That these are made by major businesses and they need to make money. And the conversation about Battlegrounds and the how horrendously consumer friendly it is. We don't really have that conversation very often.
Which also is kind of funny that it, because you're right, Hat, it is the most accessible mode in Hearthstone. It's easy to point to and be like, hey, go have fun. But it's also the least like anything in Hearthstone. Like you can't say, okay, go play Battlegrounds to learn how to play Hearthstone, because there's really no through line there. Like there's some minions that are the same, but they don't even like work the same. So
yeah. It's a different game that's in the same client, and it's a really great game, and the other game is great too. And if you play a bunch of BGs, then you might tick off your quests, and you might be like, hey, what do I do with this gold? Hey, what do I do with these packs? And you might just, beyond just playing Battlegrounds because you like it and then going infinite on the gold, which you can totally do super easily now, you can also just like, you can play a tavern brawl, you can get packs, and they have the core set and all that. They added a lot of glitz and glamour so that if you are a Battlegrounds player and you log in, they will give you a few free cards and dangle some carrots in front of you to try Constructed. But there will also be a point where I think it, being so clear about their pipelines for cosmetics and BGs means that's probably effective on the Constructed side and probably their outlet for this side, which means I don't know if they intend to paywall any portion of their really popular game. I think it's more they intend to give people who play it an outlet for their money into Blizzard, which is a good strategy. The monetization for cosmetics they first tried, they half-assed some hero portraits. And I like Magni, still use them to this day. but you go back and you look at those $10 portraits and it was totally just not a big effort and didn't get them anywhere. They're realizing now, if you meaningfully make cosmetics and you add some stuff inside, like the Tavern Pass, which I think has actually turned out to be a good thing in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, go ahead. Tag me in your YouTube comments. Tag me on Twitter. Tavern Pass is a good thing. Come at me.
Hey.
I think they did. I mean, we said this from the get-go. They did the Tavern Pass the right way in that they put all of the rewards in the free track, and it's only cosmetics every few levels, every five levels or whatever in the paid track. They could have flipped that on its head, and that would have been much more similar to most other like battle passes. So they did that right. I mean, there's still some things that I really don't like about the Tavern Pass that I don't think that they did well. And I think the levels now are totally meaningless because there's just so many of them. Like, but that's probably a conversation for a whole other day. But I'm actually curious.
If that's our biggest problem, that's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah. I'm actually curious, as people who spend money on Hearthstone, like you and Garrett, would you buy Battlegrounds cosmetics?
Oh, that's a big fat. It depends.
Okay.
What are the cosmetics?
I did. Okay, so my thing with Battlegrounds is like, so I used to buy a lot of cosmetics in Heroes of the Storm, but I also played Quick Match, so I could choose the hero that I played and the cosmetic that I saw all the time. But in Battlegrounds, if I buy, say, an Alexstrasza skin, I might not see her for a week.
Okay, Joss, if you want anything from me other than dumping on Alexstrasza, you need to pick other example hero.
Okay.
Say an Illidan skin, right?
Cthun.
Illidan skin.
Okay.
Joss will definitely buy an Illidan skin.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Because Joss takes great pleasure in sending wins to me with heroes I would never touch with a 10-foot pole. So, Illidan tracks.
Yeah. But so steal what Runeterra is doing. You buy emotes and you buy board halves. You buy your half of the board.
I might pay for emotes. I'm not going to lie.
I need my opponent.
Like, Happy Cow will always stay, but
my opponent has to see my half of the board, though. This is non-negotiable.
Yeah. And so what Runeterra does is you buy your half and the board just has a line right down the middle. And then if they have a cosmetic half, it shows theirs and then it shows yours. Runeterra also has little adorable companions off to the side, just like Magic does too. Magic Arena. And you can pick which companion you have. The default in Runeterra is an adorable little Poro, which is like a mini like Yeti. If a Yeti were a teddy bear, it's adorable. And so, I mean, I don't know. Hearthstone could have like a little thing over there. Could have a Murloc.
I think WoW battle pets, if they've taught Blizzard anything, is that I will pay stupid amounts of money for just little things that adorably wiggle their butts.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a rich mine of butt related cosmetics that I think would do really well.
Oh my God. I would love to. I would also be down for like alternate art for tribes. Like, give me like alternate card art.
Oh, like different elementals and stuff.
Yeah.
Like different art for the elemental.
Like to where they kind of look like the same elemental, but maybe like it's a completely different piece of art of the, you know, same basic monster or creature, you know, or person, not, you know, just cause you're a humanoid in Battlegrounds and you're playable. Doesn't mean you're a monster. It doesn't mean you're a monster.
And sometimes Bob tells me that I can win the whole thing and then I get crushed from 30. So maybe Bob is the real monster.
Oh, you know what? new bartenders would be great. Take that from Heroes of the Storm. One of my favorite cosmetics in Heroes of the Storm is different announcers. Even though I just usually set it to adjutant because it makes me feel like I'm playing StarCraft 2 again, a game I miss a lot, but clearly don't miss enough to go get good at again.
I like the little kid from that like toy event that they had.
Oh, he's creepy.
That kid's a creeper.
That is one step removed from like Chucky doll in my closet. That thing creeps me out. I hate it.
Yeah. You could also buy ropes. You could buy fancy ropes.
Oh yeah. But only you would see that.
Okay.
The whole point.
But you'd see it every turn.
The whole point is I want to style on my opponents. I want them to see that even though Bob effed me and I'm going out in eighth place, that I'm going out in style.
I mean, really, if they let me put rainbows and glitter on my rope, I'm going to buy it. if it's like a rainbow rope and then it just like the sparks are like little stars and glitters and stuff. Oh, man, I'm going to buy that so fast.
With different sound effects, too. It could be. Yeah.
Really? I mean, there's so many things that they could do cosmetic wise in this game. It's one of the things that I think we've talked about for a while, and they are kind of getting there with the Tavern Pass. But it's the kind of thing that we've talked about for a while that is very underutilized in Hearthstone in general. And I think Battlegrounds cosmetics is definitely the direction they're going to go, because I don't think that they want to at this point, like you mentioned, it's been a year and a half now that the mode has been out. It's still technically in beta, but the community would just absolutely riot if they took it away. If they made you like pay for every round, like you pay for Arena, or like if they did anything that was like straight up monetizing the playing of the game any more so than it already is with the whole, it used to be the Tavern Pass, now it's not, but the Battlegrounds thing that lets you have the perks, lets you have the more heroes and stuff. But like, if they did any more than that one small purchase that you have to do once an expansion, like the community would just riot. So I think cosmetics is really the only way that they can go in Battlegrounds. And if they do cosmetics in Battlegrounds, I hope that it's the kind of thing that somehow could be used in more modes, or I don't know. Like, if I can customize my rope in Battlegrounds, can I customize my rope in Constructed? Like, can I just buy one rainbow rope?
Yeah. And they could also, I could see a world where they have BGs is popular enough to support two different kinds of BGs, and they could pay well one of them. Like, they could make a tavern brawl BG.
Don't give them ideas, Hat. What are you doing?
They're smarter than we are. Like, they have these ideas. They've been talking about it for a year because they have to figure out, all right, we have all these people at the barbershop and our haircuts are free. What do we do? Like, they have all these people just sitting inside the client. Hold up.
They're not free. If you want an okay haircut, like, they just like, hey, what size guard do you want? That's free. If you want a good haircut, it's $20 every like third of the year.
But you can go at this point with the new rewards pass, that's payable with gold completely if you want to go.
Well, listen, if you want to sweep up the hair around the shop and help out so that they comp you a haircut, that's totally fine.
This is a labored analogy.
Listen, this is me being 100% inward. I pay it every time. Give me my gold that I don't really know what I'm doing with right now because the rewards track has actually worked out too well in my favor.
Yeah, they have such high player engagement, and the conversion of that to American dollars for the company is surprisingly low. They'll figure something out there. I do think that they can't really get away with, like you said, Joss, if they try and paywall and kill the goose that laid the golden eggs, like, someone gonna get fired over there. They can't do that. So it's gotta be cosmetically based or an additional version of this mode that they will paywall access to, which I think they could do. Like, they could make a new, if they took Quill Boars next week, they're not doing this. I'm just saying, if they hypothetically said, all right, this new tribe is available for a month in premium BGs, and then after that it goes to regular BGs or something like that. Like, they could do something like that.
Well, they already kind of do, right? Because they haven't done it with tribes, they've done it with heroes, where they've said, you know, like, heroes are available for, you know, if you've got the perks, then you get the hero 2 weeks ahead of everybody else, and then it launches for everybody. But I mean, realistically, I still see it in every single match. Like, I'm pretty sure the vast majority of Battlegrounds players are paying for the perks one way or another. But
well, and a single hero, there are 50 heroes in BGs. Like, it's pretty unlikely to matter unless the hero is super broken. And even then, just pick Finley. You can still roll them.
Mm. Very, very true. Very true. So should we talk about other modes in Hearthstone?
Well, Ixargate.
Are we good to move on?
Ixar talked about hypothetical other modes. Specifically,
Ixar talked about tower defense, dudes. Like,
what is happening? I mean, you have Plants versus Zombies in my Hearthstone.
They had it for 2 weeks, then they nerfed the watch post. But like,
you've had better.
So was Hearthstone. I'm glad they nerfed them. I don't know.
Okay, well played. Okay. But yeah, on the subject of new modes, Ixar said, I'd love to explore tower defenses. I really want to explore a Mario Party style game mode with Battlegrounds tech, where players go into an 8-player match and play mini games with one another. Things like tower defense are good fits for role players in that mode. This is just Dean Dreamland for now.
I like Dean Dreamland. I mean, if they're going to go down this path of Hearthstone as a platform, then like really lean into it and go, I mean, like before BlizzCon Line, we were talking about like what we'd like to see or whatever, or even before the new game mode, which at that time was Duels, was announced. Like, oh, what do you want to see? Like, Among Us, why not? Like, just go way out there, do crazy things. Like, yeah.
Dean, dude. Consider this an official invitation to come on the podcast, and we will just do a Dean Dreamland episode.
Ooh, yeah.
Just come with your craziest theories. Like, the more the merrier, because it'll be so scattershot. Like, no one could possibly be disappointed that one of the things doesn't get picked because we'll just talk about too many crazy ideas.
Yes, I love that. I love Dean's Dreamland. Yeah,
somebody, anyone
I'm
from the
sure
Hearthstone
Fabio
team, listening.
From PR will be thrilled by this idea. Yeah,
Fabio, listen, buddy, come on.
It'd be so good.
Yeah, it's fine. It'll be fine. Yeah, Dean's trained. Dean's a veteran at this. He knows what he can and cannot say.
One thing: these mini games. I have played too many co-op tavern brawls. Do not make this 8-player co-op. Please do not. allow me to fight the other person, because if it depends on us working together wordlessly, it will not go well.
Well, I mean, not all Mario Party games are like, they kind of mix it up. Sometimes there's like two teams. Sometimes it's like three on one. Sometimes it's every man for himself. Sometimes you're all four trying to do something together. So you never know. There's lots of different iterations. You can just make it up as you go. Eight-player matches of crazy co-op. I have done co-op tavern brawls. I mean, they're sometimes a struggle, but I've done them.
I am not the biggest Mario Party fan, but I have to say
I love Mario Party.
It seems like a natural fit for like the Hearthstone brand.
It's so Hearthstone vibe, right? Like,
yeah. Like I when you mentioned this, my brain immediately went, that's Crib when no, it isn't. No, that's totally on brand. Like, that makes all the sense in the world to me. And again, yeah, he says it's Dean Dreamland. Like, I bet none of this is even a post-it note on a corkboard by the coffee pot collecting dust, because no one's in the on Blizzard campus at the moment. but yeah. This is cool.
Yeah, this is way out there stuff.
Be more open like this in the future, Dean. Not that you aren't already like the most freaking talkative member of the team with these AMAs, but I love this kind of stuff. Keep it coming. Then Ixar also talked about hiring pros for the design team. Well, not actually Ixar. This was Matt London, correct?
Yeah, who's also on the design team, and he kind of weighed in on basically how it feels to have, because the question essentially was like, hey, is it like a prerequisite to get hired on the Hearthstone team to, you know, be a pro player? Because you've got like Galen, who went to the team, Boar Control, who went to the team. I mean, Cora, too. And it's just, and so basically Matt weighed in and was like, hey, I'm a legend player and a designer on the team. And after 10 minutes with Galen co-piloting my play, it was abundantly clear that he operates on a significantly higher level than even good card game players. So pros see things in testing that we just don't. Chalky obviously is another example. But yeah, they've definitely pulled from that kind of pro pool. And I think it's a good call.
It's Alec is top 100 legend on America's Ladder, like often, and he is maybe the least professionally accomplished Hearthstone player on the final team, which should tell you a lot about the quality of player they're hiring from.
Yeah. So my little gem that I got this month, that's not enough. I can't just be like, yo.
Did you apply?
No, I don't want to move to California. Gross.
Moving right past that to talk about adding new potential card types.
Blizzard, please let us please interview Dean even after that.
Oh man, like that is not the worst thing I've said about Blizzard lately.
No, not within the past like 48 hours.
Listen, I like California, but you ain't worth those rent prices. You ain't worth it. Right?
See, that's the thing. I'm already conditioned to it by New York City. Wouldn't even notice the difference.
But the difference is New York City is worth those rent prices. That's right.
Have you had Southern California homemade salsa verde?
I have. It's fine. Dude, I go to New Mexico. Well, before just COVID, before COVID, I went to New Mexico like 2 to 3 times a year. I can get plenty good salsa verde. Thank you very much. So, anyway, on the subject of new card types, Ixar said that they've experimented with a few. There aren't any direct comparisons from other games, but we've tried. That is similar to Planeswalkers. Captains on the battlefield, also with static on board effects like weather / enchantments.
I love the idea of weather. I'm not going to lie. It sounds so cool.
Okay. Everyone who plays Heroes of the Storm just shuddered when you said that. But also,
anyone who played Gwent in beta, weather was a big part of that game. And it was... So, Joss, you remember Turtle Mage?
Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing it back to Hearthstone, because I was about to make Gwent. Yeah. There's dozens of us.
Hey, I liked that game, and the game director in that game is named Ben Lee, and he runs this game now, so it's okay.
Oh, that explains a lot.
So anyways, so Turtle Mage were kind of invalidating your minions. Imagine if Turtle Mage was a permanent effect that just sat on your side of the board. That was okay, weather but, in that game.
Well, yeah, in that game. But then I would think that if that wasn't a fun play experience, then, I mean, considering you just said the guy that worked on Gwent now works on Hearthstone, you would think he would bring that experience over and be like, OK, so when we did weather there, it wasn't fun. How do we do it but make it fun? So, yeah. Like, maybe you make it like every five turns. Everybody knows we're about to get a tornado or like a downpour or something. Like, you can get a bonus if you play turtles who like water or frogs or I don't know. Like water elementals, like they get a buff or something if you play them on a water turn. That sounds cool to me.
If your turtle makes it to the water turn.
See, you understand.
I do. I spent many a minute staring at a beach waiting for my turtles.
I just think it would be a cool kind of, I mean, chat room DG saying it would be a cool Battlegrounds event. Like, I think there's ways you can do these kinds of things that, I mean, I hope they wouldn't keep them in Tavern Brawls, but they absolutely could be Tavern Brawls. I think they could be even like maybe not an expansion feature, but they've talked about like events or it could be part of the mini set now that we have. This is a whole new like shake 'em up moment that we've got in Hearthstone in terms of the cadence of content. Like, do it then.
Yeah. And we don't even know whether or not they're going to do them.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I just wanted to make the pun of weather.
Weather. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you didn't laugh, so I assume that you didn't get the pun. So that's why I explained it.
That's the only reason why you wouldn't have laughed. Focused in on the one thing that I was like the least excited about. I was like, weather. Oh, God, please never do this ever. That sounds terrible.
I think it sounds cool.
I've literally asked for enchantments before. I'm pretty sure it was like in the first like 10 episodes of this show because I was still playing Magic at the time. For some reason, Planeswalkers had never really crossed my mind, but surprised we haven't seen something akin to that. But also, like, we are playing a very specific hero. So
yeah, I would say something like C'Thun, like original C'Thun, old gods C'Thun was almost like that, where it was like a
little planeswalker adjacent.
Yeah, like it's like an extra big thing that does a thing you build your deck around, and like, I mean, that kind of maybe. I know it's not exactly the same, also, and obviously
I think you're more right than you might realize too, because you are like literally adding a counter to OG C'Thun as you're buffing him up.
I'm like, I think I've played like two games of Planeswalkers Magic like ever, and what I vaguely remember from 7 years ago kind of reminds me of C'Thun.
Yeah, and they could do like you could make a minion with zero attack and a bunch of health. And you give it like a different color circle instead of a green circle, you give it a blue circle or whatever, and you click it and the druid choose one dialogue pops up and you click one of the things and it does the thing and you get to do that once a turn, just like attacking. Like they could do something like that. But it's pretty tricky. You don't want to make it too snowbally, but you don't want to make it too irrelevant, and you're removing the minion's ability to attack most likely because it wouldn't really be a minion. I'm not surprised that it's taken them a little while to get right. And in this, in the next bullet points here, Dean talked about how hero cards kind of hit a lot of these notes and were so successful and popular that it's kind of hard to follow them. So to read these next few points, I really like the idea of captains on the battlefield. They don't attack, but instead have abilities of their own they can use right away. We didn't stick the landing, but we'll probably come back to them at some point. Hero cards have been tough to live up to. Hard to design something that is nearly as exciting with similar or less complexity. They're an underrated design, used existing mechanics to make something simple, yet hugely popular and exciting. That's a good point. Heroes are kind of awesome, and people always talk about them no matter what whenever we see them.
Yeah, and I feel like the other issue that hero cards kind of brings to mind is specifically with Frozen Throne and Death Knights, where everybody got to be a Death Knight hero, right? And I think you'd have the same sort of problem with any sort of planeswalker type thing you did, unless they were totally neutral like old gods and you could put them in any class. But even with just old gods, you see some that are like niche, some that work sometimes, some that'll work for everybody, but they may not be as powerful as like the niche ones in specific classes. Like they're really hard to balance to give everybody the chance to play them and experience them. And that's what we saw with Death Knights, is some Death Knight classes were ridiculous. Like Rekstar was really good, Gul'dan was really good, and then you had other classes that were just like, well, no one even plays this, like why so I think they're so hard to balance, but they become so central to an expansion that I feel like it's the kind of idea that I want to see them play with and keep iterating on and try to get it right, but I don't want to see them force it through because it's going to be difficult to design and balance. I think
I like when they started just doing them when it made sense. They didn't force themselves to do one for every class. Like, mm-hmm. I thought Agatha was really successful. Right now, like, the only standard legal hero card is Jiraxxus. Mm-hmm. Hat was right. And
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
And, I, you know, Galakrond worked out, too, even though I just said I feel like you don't need a force.
If you look back at Galakrond, would you call it successful? No, I know it saw a play. It saw a lot of play. They had to nerf a bunch of them. Would you call that mechanic successful?
I would.
I think it was interesting.
I would consider anything that like gets play and it gets nerfed, like, I don't know. Successful might be the wrong word, but playable to me is I think it hits me with a like an inherent level of success or an inherent level of positivity in my mind. Because otherwise, I just think of like. I don't think of anything because it wasn't played. Like it just recedes into obscurity. Yeah. Like I'm trying to think of like which Death Knight just like never got played. I'm actually kind of coming Thrall. Blank at the moment.
Yeah, Thrall didn't Garrosh. See a lot. Yeah.
Thrall and Garrosh were both pretty.
Oh, good. That's right, Garrosh. That was the Garrosh. Garrosh was butt.
The whirlwind button. No one pressed the whirlwind button.
Well, it's yeah. You know what? Warrior didn't need more whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Dr. Boom Mad Genius. They were fine.
You want to go after Galakrond when Dr. Boom Mad Genius is still on the board to be talked about.
I'm not a fan of either of those for what it's worth. I don't think that either of them were great. I love like Amazing Reno, what I think was a really great design. I think Zul'jin was actually a pretty cool design too, of it does something big when you play it. And then there's an incremental effect that doesn't define the rest of the game in a way that wins you the game, as opposed to Galakrond and most of the Death Knights, where button to win. Mm-hmm. And also, do you remember how messed up the unnerfed Rogue Galakrond was? You drew four cards, they didn't cost any mana, and you got a free Arcanine Reaper for your trouble as a throw-in. Why? Why did I need a sprint with a pile of mana? And sometimes you did that into pre-nerf Dragon Queen Alexstrasza and then played an 8-8 and then two free dragons. Then you cronked them. And then you're like, it was so much.
Oh, man.
It was so much.
Like, okay, so, but the part of the design that I liked is that I really liked that you had to play the invoke cards. You had to like do some stuff to get the Arcanine Reaper. Like you had to level up your Galakrond. I really like really any Hearthstone mechanic that plays that way. I mean, Cthune plays like that too, with like playing all the body parts to get the big bomb at the end. Like I really like that style of design. So I liked that part. And for me, Galakrons are successful because I thought they implemented that well. But then you're right. Like some of them were just too powerful.
I'm with you, Joss. And I think what we're both getting at is that like it's an issue of balance and not design.
Yeah.
I really, really liked the design of Galakrons. I have historically really liked the extremely obvious synergy designs of Hearthstone, like going all the way back to OG Cthune would be the first one that I would point to. Or it was just like, oh, it is very obvious how I'm supposed to build the deck to make this card work. And I think the same goes for Galakrond's. Like, I like these, you know, big, obvious, you know, tribal legendaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, Galakrond needed a lot of work for sure. But overall, I liked the design. I liked the way that basically every Galakrond deck played. It's just that a lot of them they came in swinging with like a metal bat. It was a little much.
Yeah, the main issue that I have with them is the same issue they have with some of the Death Knights. It's when it becomes a viable strategy to infinitely press the button after the Galakrond, and that's how you win your game. It's if the buttons were worse, if Rogue wasn't give me a lackey, which gives me a dragon, which gives me a blah, 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 or if Priest wasn't I can make minions forever, My favorite one was the warrior one because three attack is relevant, but it ends the game, right? You press it and then the game ends. It's like a steady shot for Hunter. You're not expecting to be around forever. But when you look at things like Deathstalker Rexxar is the biggest example, you literally cannot outlast it. It is a jade idol on a stick combined with the power level of the initial battle cry. It is a balance issue. The design part where it's the payoff was not just the battle cry, but the hero power giving you something to do for the entire rest of the game that would win you the game by itself. That's the part that I think is a little sketchy. Combined with the mechanics, Galakrond was a complex card. Do you remember they had to put out after the presentation at BlizzCon, they had to publish a blog article at the same time explaining how Invoke worked. And then if you went and talked to anyone that had just watched the presentation, read the article, there was maybe a 20% chance they understood how it worked. Because it took me like 3 read-throughs. So it was a lot. And I'm glad they gave it out for free. And I'm glad they had a bunch of positive experience with it where people can like, I want to play this cool Galakrond deck. And the leveling up part was really rad. Where do I wait a second and play the Shield of Galakrond? Or am I really playing a 4-mana 2/2 rush? Yes, we are. that part was cool. Just the looking at it in the rearview mirror, the sameness that it made some decks with the same neutrals to invoke for over a year, and then the sameness of the games after you played the Galakrond where you press button and then do what the button gives you, those are the parts that I think are a little sketchy.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
I think it's fair, too. But also, like in the there's a lot of different sameness we've seen over the history of Hearthstone, and I'll take class specific sameness over neutral sameness.
Mm. Yes. Are you talking about current standard?
A little bit, a little bit, but no. There's a long storied history of I'm sick of seeing this neutral card in Hearthstone.
Yeah, we're going to get sick of hearing Mancrick scream Olgra really soon, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's everywhere, which at first felt really good because he's so Barons-esque, right? Like, he's iconic, but it's just like, okay, I get it. It was a good joke. Yep, she died. Rip, sad face, tear, but stop now, please.
My co-host on Coin Concede, Bodicus, brought up the fact that if you have a full health angry Mancrick, and you have Alexstrasza, the Binder of Life and Hope, she cannot kill him. His butt is so big and angry that she cannot bind his butt.
I think it makes sense.
Does it?
He's enraged. He's angry.
She's no the queen dragons, and Azura. He's one angry green boy.
Okay, we still have a lot of Hearthstone to talk about, and our listeners don't want to hear even more Mancrick than they're already hearing.
That's very true.
One last highlight from the Ixar AMA that I do want to mention is one that makes me sad. But that's okay.
Sorry, Garrett.
There are so many exciting things in here. It's relatively okay. But on the subject of more limited formats, Ixar said, more likely we'll improve / revamp something like Arena or Duels rather than make an entirely new format. And I'm not editorializing how that was said. I'm sure that's exactly the tone of voice that Dean meant me to read that.
100%.
I don't have an EU or soundbite, but if I did, I would play it right now.
Yeah. Hey, can we actually improve and revamp Arena then? Like, please?
Well, and that's kind of the direction I get out of this tweet, the glimmer of hope, if you want to call it that, that, you know, at least they are aware that they're not, I guess, as popular or not as well loved as some of the other formats, and that maybe they could use a revamp. Like, you just got to find the hope, Garrett.
My distaste for Arena is well documented, and this is just is a bummer because I love limited Magic, and Magic is doing limited. Sorry, Magic is doing limited. I needed to rethink that.
You should just send Ixar a tweet or a message or something and be like, hey, I heard you're thinking of revamping Arena. Here's what I think it's missing, and he'll go, thanks, Garrett. You're so smart.
I've mentioned
here's
it
your
before.
New limited Arena format.
I've mentioned it before, and I don't
know.
Now
let's go
happen.
Out for some strawberry ice cream before we wake up from this dream.
I've mentioned what I want before, and that's why I don't think I'll ever gonna get it, because like what I want for Arena is burn it down and build something better.
Hmm.
So yeah.
There's that.
Probably not going to happen.
Probably not. No, and that's why this bums me out. But there's so much other exciting stuff in here that I've gone this long without Limited. Like, listen, if Limited when Hearthstone was make or break for me, I would have been off this show 6 years ago.
Yeah, so that's very true. I feel like, yeah, it's been at least that long that you've been asking for more Limited.
So
Battlegrounds is kind of Limited.
It is, actually. You're not. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And honestly, I think to me, Battlegrounds is, I've gone this far into the show without a car reference. I love the old Henry Ford quote that says, if I asked my customers what they wanted, they would have told me they wanted a faster horse. And Battlegrounds is Hearthstone's faster horse moment, where not a single damn one of us except Jocelyn was asking for this. And yet it came out and blew the majority of our minds and was a smash hit. So they need another one of those.
To be fair, I never thought it would be in Hearthstone.
Yeah.
I thought they'd announce an auto battler at that BlizzCon, but I did not think it would be in Hearthstone.
Yeah, everyone is expecting HOTS.
Yeah.
But like, except for maybe Garrett, who's like, you think they're gonna put new things in HOTS? Think again.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, well, at the time I was like, well, listen, Heroes is getting some really healthy regular updates, but not to that level. Not to that level. No. And here we are now in HOTS, 2 months between the 2 months since the last patch, and yeah, things are looking a little stale over there.
It'll be fine.
But hey, yeah. And you know, we're just not going to mention Overwatch. We're just not going to mention what's going on over at Overwatch. That's what we're going to do.
Papa Jeff, we love you.
I'm going to miss Jeff, and I can't remember the last time I had Overwatch installed on my computer. And I'm still going to miss Jeff. That's where I'm at.
Same.
That man.
I have never played Overwatch, and I'm going to miss Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, the dude was a good face of the game, and going to be missed. But grow the beard back now, dude. You're gone. You're free of your Blizzard shackles. Grow your beard back. It was majestic. And with that in mind, let's just move right along, and let's talk about a deck. Let's talk about a deck other than Paladin or Mage or Hunter. Okay? Sound good? Jocelyn, you chose the deck that we were going to talk about this week. What are we talking about?
I was waiting for a bumper.
I have like straight up lost the strategy bumper and I have not had
car?
Time to
okay.
make a new one.
Here, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to push the button. Though, like,
let's see. We're going to talk about a deck this week, and the deck this
very
week
very hard.
No, the deck this week is piloted. It has a name. It comes at you quickly, and it's Rush Warrior.
Is this just our life now, Pat? Is this just Can we just, like, I don't know, somehow hijack his soundboard and just delete Garrett, that file?
Garrett, this is how we feel.
I just want to mention that typically strangers on the internet are not bashful about telling me that they think I or something I do sucks. And I haven't gotten a single complaint.
Okay. Maybe I just don't have my finger on the pulse of the internet like I thought I did.
I can recall three tweets off the top of my head of people asking me to, they went out of their way to ask me to keep doing it.
Okay.
So
I'm glad to hear people tell you that things suck freely. Is that good?
I mean, it depends.
There's so many jokes in there, and I'm just going to talk about Rush Warrior.
Let's do it. Let's talk about Rush Warrior.
Honestly, I'm really, really enjoying this deck. It's not cheap though, guys.
No.
there's a lot of dust in this one, and not just in the legendaries. There's quite a few epics in there too, but it's really, really fun.
So if you if you're not watching on video, I am currently showing the deck list on HS Replay, and I am logged in. So you will notice, folks, I am missing Rokara, which I don't know. I know it's called Rush Warrior, but is the legendary that has Rush and then reads after a friendly minion attacks and survives gives it +1/+1, is that important to the Rush Warrior deck? I can't tell.
I mean, it's
a bit.
Yeah. It buffs itself too, which is good.
Also, yeah. The text says after a friendly minion attacks and survives. So when you read that, your brain, the first time you read that, it's like, okay, well, if I have minions with big buffs in minion combat, then they'll survive. If they attack face, they also survive.
Yes.
So if you do turn 2 Crab Rider, turn 3 Rokara, and you get in there, then you end the turn with a 3/5 Crab or a 3/6 Crab Rider, which is big.
With Wind Fury.
Yeah.
And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's really good, Garrett. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Warrior is my least played class and also my least favorite class. So I am always trepidatious of crafting legendaries to go play warrior archetypes. And so that's where I'm at. Also, at the very, very, very top of the show, you may have caught it. I was planting a seed. I was planting a little seed of teasing when I said, I feel like we're experiencing certain pocket metas depending on the MMR. That we have to find ourselves at. And I...
They were air quotes again, listeners.
Yes, and I, as a Dad Legend player, certainly feel I am at a hidden MMR where Rush Warrior literally does not exist.
I faced a few on my climb. I definitely have not played any mirror matches since I got up to Legend. But I just think this deck is really fun. And... I mean, it's half decent against everything I've been facing. I mean, like I mentioned, I've seen some druids and I've seen no demon hunters yet. No mages, actually, either. Like, it's been kind of a weird time.
The mage fall off for me has been very gradual. Mm-hmm. I saw still predominantly mage for the rest of the week following the nerf, and then... less and less and less since, and I didn't see a single damn mage today.
It's picking back up still, again, by the way.
Yeah, they're still good. I think if Masters Tour this, or not Masters Tour, Grandmasters this past weekend showed us anything, it's like, mage is still good. They just do stupid stuff they're not supposed to be able to do for way less mana than it's supposed to cost. So, I mean, they can pull wins out of nowhere, but it is random. So I think if you're trying to, like, climb, you may or may not be in for that potentially tilting game state. You might want something a little more reliable, but it's still really good.
It's better without lunacy now, in my experience. And I played a game yesterday where the card Encanter Slow. If you have it in the opening hand, it boosts your win rate by 13% over the deck's average win rate. It is incredibly, incredibly powerful in the mulligan. And I had a game yesterday where my opponent hit Flow in the mulligan, and I was playing Secret Rogue. And starting on their turn 6, we both had 17 cards in deck, and I was at 30. And at the end of their turn 7, they had 7 cards in deck, and I was at 0. And they did not play Deck of Lunacy. I just died to burn spells.
Yeah, they have a lot of burn.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't need Deck of Lunacy anymore. But this is not about Mage. We're talking about Rush Warrior here. And looking at the popularity stats on HSR, Rush Warrior is definitely a deck that's trickling down through the Diamond ranks and even to the Platinum ranks right now. It's nowhere near as popular, from what I can tell, in lower platinum and in gold and so on and so forth. It's definitely a deck that has picked up popularity over the past week or so, especially in qualifiers. And you're probably going to see a good bit of it in lineups at the Masters Tour this weekend, especially because this weekend is best of 5, not best of 3, or like Grandmasters was with Specialist, was just one deck. If you're building a 4-deck lineup, it's going to be hard to justify not running Warrior at all, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of really powerful combos, and there's a lot of things that kind of work well together. Like, there's a lot of good pieces that if you just get 2 or 3 of them, like, you don't necessarily need all of them. They just kind of, like, a piece here and a piece there do some really powerful things. Like, Playmaker is really good alongside, I mean, Nadia, it doesn't even have to be Rikara, but it can be Rikara, or it could be your bumper cars, because then you just can, you know, play that, run it into something, kill it, and it's going to give you a whole bunch of little 1/1s. You summon those 1/1s, they have rush, so you get more of them. Like, it's just, it almost feels like Playmaker is kind of like an insta clear, and especially if you can combine that in with what's the one that does the parade leader, the, when you summon a rush minion, you get the +2 attack as well. So if you're if you manage to get parade leader and playmaker on the board at the same time, you could just do some stupid things.
Yep. And the second minion, the copy that playmaker makes, gets 2 buffs because the original gets buffed, and then the copy gets buffed again because the parade leader buff.
Yeah. Cause you get a copy and then the parade leader buff on top of the copy.
Yeah. And a lot of the time I find myself using Playmaker as well to just fill my hand with more bumper car riders. Let's just Playmaker bumper car when you're against a priest or a warlock. And then you just get Runthak down and you start conditioning, which is a card that I really underrated in a major way. Because after turn 5 conditioning, you'll hit a full hand. And it feels like Quest Rogue at times, where I just have 4/1 mana 4/4s with rush in my hand, and just like, play this and kill yourself, and play this and kill yourself. And it's really hard to stick a board against them.
I think I undervalued rank spells in general, just across the board.
Any of the stuff that gets better as the game goes on.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the Warlock one with the summoning of the imps. I feel like
that is the second worst one.
Yeah.
Many people do not remember that Druid even got a rank spell because Living Seed is not the answer.
I did. I totally forgot they had one.
Yeah. You're not the only person because it's Living Seed.
Druids are just tokening again.
Some of them are clowning.
Some are clowning.
They are. Okay.
But nobody's aligning. No one's aligning.
I got a line today.
Were you the one aligning?
No, I was not aligning. I got aligned. I was about to say, and then they gave me a 1 mana Alexstrasza, and I was like, thank you, ping dead.
I can't get away from Jocelyn's Alexstrasza, even when I'm not in Balagraz.
Nope.
Also, that story right there, that's why you don't align in this format, because everybody has 1 mana, you take 8 now.
Yeah. I was like, did they really just... Yeah, okay. And also, I still had a full board of stuff. So I was like, you're super dead.
Yeah.
That was not the play.
Enjoy, bud. Enjoy.
Yeah. What they did was misaligned with the game state.
Oh. See, that was a good one.
All right. Well, thank you. Well, let's get back in line about this Rush Warrior conversation.
Yeah. Like we did say, it is quite expensive. The one kind of free legendary is Alexstrasza because she is part of the core set. But it's Runthak, a pricey. Sorry?
Runthak.
Oh, right.
Oh, I always forget about Overlord Runthak.
He's core.
He is core. You are correct.
He's a cool dude. They made hand buff good in standard.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the first time, and the reason that I kind of slept on just this archetype in general is because it does have, and talking about the rank spells as well with conditioning, is it just, it had hand buff vibes. And the last time we really tried hand buffing, it just did not work out.
Well, the last time we had hand buffing too, though, we didn't have rush yet.
We didn't have rush. Yeah. Which makes a huge difference, because then it's like, you can do things like play conditioning or play down Runthak, and he does something right away. He rushes in and he buffs your hand, and then you can actually play stuff out of your hand that's buffed and also is proactive on the board. And it's amazing the difference that rush makes. And it's like, it's not to the point of charge where, you know, you've got all this crazy explosive damage from hand, but it just like, you're able to interact with the board on the same turn that you're buffing, and it just makes a huge difference. And hand buffing is super fun when you don't die right away while you're trying to set everything up.
Hand buffing is extremely fun when it can be impactful, and that's exactly what rush allows. And this is where I start to Hearthstone history geek out, because like, I think like this is like the culmination of the story of rush as a mechanic. Like this deck would not work. This deck would not exist. This deck would not be here if rush didn't get to the point that it's currently at. And apparently it took like a proper core set to get us there.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, if we look at just straight up, like, matchup wise, it does well against basically anything that's really trying to be on the board. Like, it does well against anything that's kind of like aggro-y. It can take out paladins and hunters. It does halfway decent against mages, but it's good against rogues and shamans. Like, the only thing that really takes it down is warlock. Warlock's just like, I don't really care what you're playing.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the matchups, yeah, like, they're all good for
they're
the
all
most
green
part.
Yeah,
you don't really want to be priesting, like, you don't want to be facing priests either.
Yeah,
priests will mess you up a little bit, though. They can make mistakes, such as if they hysteria your Runthak, you are generally pleased by that. I have done that once and then said, well, I better not do that again. And
yeah, that gives me like rhino vibes when they'd hysteria the rhino and I'm like, oh, that was a mistake.
Someone hysteria'd my Moonfang today and I was like, thanks, I wanted to clear your board anyway.
Yeah, you just gave the moonfang turned into a really big grab rider.
Yeah.
And just smacked a bunch of things. But yeah, it's, and even against the control decks, against the warlock, like, no, it's not the matchup you really want, but sometimes they twisting that you're like, all right, Troublemaker, take six, you go. And Troublemaker is awesome. And every time I lose to this deck, I feel like it's because I stabilized going into turn 9 behind a taunt at 8 life, and then I die to Alexstrasza. It happens so many times because Alexstrasza is so good in this deck.
Yeah, the one Ticketus warlock I played against today ended up playing Ticketus and burned both my Troublemakers and my Alexstrasza. I was like, all right, then. And he had just turned into he went like Jiraxxus and the next turn corrupted Ticketus and burned all of my late game threats. And I was just like, all right, I'm out.
I got this for you.
Soundboard game, man.
I have that one ready.
Yeah, it was a bad beat, but you know, it's fine because, you know, that's not going to happen every single time. And there was just as good a chance that when he was on 8 that I, or 7, I could have pulled my Alex and killed him. So, you know.
But instead, you lost and you went,
ah, cluck.
Which is the Angry Chicken branded version of the sad trombone.
Do, 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 do.
I like that one better. Yes. Joss, what have you been mulliganing for? What have you been looking for that's worked for you?
Crab Rider, like crazy.
Good answer.
Hey, I'm playing a paladin and I'm doing the exact same thing.
You standard deck. Do you play minions? Probably mulligan for Crab Rider.
Yeah. Also athletic studies generally and the imprisoned dude. Because just, I mean, for me, like when you have cheap minions that are imprisoned, you kind of just want them to play them as early as possible. So.
Yep. It's true.
Not that he's terrible later on, but it's like sometimes if you want to wait those 2 turns to get a weapon, it's not going to be as impactful if you're waiting from turn like 5 to 7 as turn 1 to 3. So. Little imprisoned dudes, athletic studies, because then usually actually I've been, and maybe I've just been super lucky, that would be on brand, but I've actually gotten multiple Rikaris because of athletic studies, like she, 2 or 3 indeed, in a game.
She does indeed have rush. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I feel like the pool's pretty small. I think I'm going to say that it's good use of your resources. That's what I'm going to say it is.
And then obviously because athletic studies also comes with the discount, right? So then whatever else you want to play is going to be cheaper. So yeah, I'm usually looking for that too. And I'm lucky a lot.
Well, awesome. Well, we've got a link to the deck list in our show notes. You can always find those over at amove.tv or I always forget. Just go to theangrychicken.com. We actually own that domain and look for the most recent episode post. This one will be 414. Go down to the bottom, click on the Google Docs link. You'll see our show notes. It's what we use to make the show. I also threw a link at the very top of the show to the Paladin list that I've been playing. And good luck out there. I guess in closing on this one, do we think people should craft it? Because there's 2 free Legos. Most of us got some Moro for free.
Yeah, that's true. Blade Master also was given, because I think I have the Diamond Samaro, which I can't remember how I got now. Is that the paid tavern pass?
That was the tavern pass.
Okay. But the, yeah, the non-diamond one though was the bonus, right? Yeah. For logging in or whatever. So, yeah.
Was it?
So yeah, then you just have Ringmaster, Rikara, and I guess that's it. Legendary wise.
You also,
and I like Ringmaster actually. At first I was kind of like, eh, but then yeah, I played him a couple times. I was like, oh, you good.
You also have
real good.
You also have five epics, though. You have a double up on Playmaker, a double up on Warmar Challenger, and a Tent Thrasher. Any of these core? No.
No. You don't need the Tent Thrasher. This list is originally No Hands Gamers list. I'm not a huge fan of the Shields of Honor.
Ooh, really? Well, I like those.
I feel like there's one game out of every 30 where I have a 1-3 damage Crab Rider on turn 3 or whatever. I'm like, let's get them. But then a lot of the time they just kind of sit in my hand. But you can run the Shields of Honor. Like, they're not bad. There's tech being tried out in that spot. You don't need the Tent Thrashers. There are some lists that are cutting the Playmakers, though. I do like that card.
I think on to them.
If this is a deck that you don't have to go way out of your way for crafting wise, then it's a good deck and it's worth playing. And it's surprisingly difficult to play. It really rewards practice and reps, and it's not immediately obvious how to play it, but it's worth putting the time into. But it's kind of a hard sell saying you should go craft Warmall Challengers and Ringmaster Wildly if you don't have them already. So it might be worth, like, if you have a friend with it, maybe try a borrow decks and try it out. Or like watch people play it on stream and see if that's the sort of thing you want to make, because it's likely to be a sizable investment if you're not already adjacent to this in your collection. But if it only takes, if Whatley is the only thing you have to make, you can either sub him out, but he's really good, or you can just make it. If you have to make more than 6,000 dust worth of cards, I'd probably chill for a second.
Mm-hmm. And also, like we mentioned a couple times now, Master Tour is this weekend, and there's probably going to be quite a lot of people bringing this Warrior deck. So if you guys are interested, then watch Master's Tour this weekend and kind of get a feel for people who know what they're doing and playing the deck.
Yep, we'll be on display. So that's going to wrap it up for this deck discussion. Let's take a question or two and open up our mailbag.
Hello.
Hello, it's me.
Hello.
Just quickly, do you get my message?
Yep.
Oh.
Hello, brother.
You can send your emails to tacpodcast@gmail.com. If you are a patron, skip the inbox entirely. What are you doing? Get in the fast pass line. Send us a Discord message. Message us on Patreon. You have plenty of options. Stompa kicks us off this week and says, imagine we have a mini event like Doom in the Tomb, where the cards that return for a while are the original 9 Death Knights. Which would see play in existing decks? Which would spawn new archetypes or make viable ones that currently have tools that don't quite work at the moment? And which ones wouldn't see play at all?
Still Garrosh. No one would play you.
Thrall, like, sorry, Thrall. Sorry, buddy. It's not in the cards.
Trying to think. Transforming beings and the random ones that cost two more. Yeah, because, like, what do you... No.
That was definitely a freeze shaman hero, and then they realized that maybe perpetual freezing is not good for the game, and they completely reworked it last minute. It was not great, but I'm glad they didn't make freeze shaman good, because that would have been awful.
Yeah, calling back to previous conversations, Deathstalker Rek'Sai would just blindly be thrown into every single hunter deck with wanton carelessness.
We wouldn't play him in Face Hunter.
Yeah, no, you probably wouldn't play him in Face Hunter, but there's, again, like we were talking off the top of the show, there's still a lot of archetypes that are kind of floating around that may not necessarily just be face, but I don't know. I feel like as much as the game has changed and there's more, it's almost like because of where we are right now, right after the rotation, that if you threw Death Knights back in right now, there's like not enough other stuff to be super powerful and compete with them because they were just so good that it's like, well, why would I do anything else than what they're meant to do? You know, like, I don't necessarily think we'd see any new archetypes. Like, you might throw Uther into a paladin list because why not? Like, you could probably find one slot for him, but he doesn't really change what you're doing. Yeah. Obviously not the aggro one, but
I think.
Yeah.
I think Anduin would see play, like, because.
Oh, yeah. Jaina would be pretty gross. Grand finale into Jaina. Like, that's juicy. Baron gets a 7/7 now. There's that new corrupted elemental that deals 12 when you corrupt it. And so that would heal you for 12. Jaina, but so, like, and the design of the Death Knights, it's doesn't feel all that modern because they were super variant in terms of power level. And the ones that were good were disgustingly good. Like, Gul'dan would see play because looking back at it, if Gul'dan was in standard right now, they would nerf him probably two different ways. The hero power would no longer deal three, and it would probably be a set number of demons as opposed to fill your board. Because, man, that hero is busted.
Yeah.
So good.
I miss those days of Gul'dan, man. Like, when I go back to Wild and it's not for a quest, it's to play Gul'dan.
I've actually been playing, doing a lot of the heroic adventures because for the longest time, I thought I was never going to get my legend card back. So I didn't really care so much about filling out my card back collection because I was like, it's always going to have this empty slot. We're not talking about Golden Celebration. That's a whole other conversation. But
that doesn't count.
Yeah, that one doesn't count. But now I'm like, hey, I can, you know, go and do all these heroic adventures. And so I've actually been playing a lot with Gul'dan because you're right. He's busted. I totally forgot about the target anything you want, even your enemy's face, and do 3 damage and also heal yourself for 3. Gross. Like,
on top of filling your board with
forget void demons, lords, like just that hero power.
Guards,
gross.
Or enhanced dreadlords. just also, in case you deal with those demons, I'm just going to press this button until you die.
Yeah.
And it makes me not die.
Yeah.
And Druid Malfurion, we would overgrowth into Malfurion. Like, you would cast Overgrowth, and the turn after you cast Overgrowth, you would then cast Malfurion. That is how the curve goes. And then you Guardian Animals the turn after. No, thank you. No, that can stay in Wild. I'm all done.
So basically, no events. Hat wants none of it. Get out of his Hearthstone.
I'm just saying that also Tour Guide is in standard, and these all have really good hero powers.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know what would happen.
Yeah, like, this is a fun thought experiment, Snappa. And any of the holes we're punching in is not meant to, like, detract from the fun of this question. It is very, very fun. Back to the idea of, like, events.
A tavern brawl. A tavern brawl would be cool.
Yeah. Back to the whole thought of events, though, is, like, I think I really liked the concept of the event that brought back wild cards to standard. I thought it was wonderful, and I think it would have been successful had they decided to balance it at all post-going live. If they could have dealt with Evolve, I think I would have chalked it up to one of the coolest damn in-game events they had done. I'm pretty sure you can go back and find at least 2 or 3 quotes of me saying after the fact that I would still like to see more events like that because I think they could get it right. Now, however, with the advent of the core set, I don't think that type of event is necessary because they can now curate whatever old cards that they want to bring into standard constructed Hearthstone. So we don't need an event like that anymore.
We had one too with the Grand Reversion. We had 5 days where 2-mana Starving Buzzard was in standard and it was pretty filthy. So like we kind of got that a little bit. And Ixara said when they do events, they want it to be like that. They want it to be a week where it's totally, totally insane at the very end of the format. If they brought back the original Death Knights for the last week of standard, I would complain about Gul'dan and I would play the crap out of that mode. I would absolutely play so much of it.
I think that was the other piece with Doom in the Tomb too, right? Is it just went on too long and it impacted esports and it just, yeah. But I like, you know, little 5 to 7 to 10 day things where it's like, hey, just go have crazy fun before we mix it up with a new expansion. Like just do stupid things.
Yeah.
During standard rotation seems like a great time to do that. It won't impact esports. It'll just impact our enjoyment of the game and going, what? Constantly. That's what it'll be doing. Joss, who's our next question come from?
Dax wrote in and said, curious on your thoughts about the way too early mini set predictions. Where do you think that they will go? What decks or archetypes will we potentially see rise and fall as we move forward in the meta? Oh, and is Ticketus the blue shell of Hearthstone? Not why I put the question in, by the way, because of my earlier Ticketus story. But there's definitely Ticketus is the most recent iteration, I think, of like bad beat salty Hearthstone player. It like it creates the salty Hearthstone tilted player. So I think sometimes it feels like when they burn all of your win conditions in one go. Yeah, that feels blue shelly. But at the same time, like, I still think it's okay. I think it's fun. Like, they still have to, they got to do a lot. They got to live, right?
And the blue shell, we're defining blue shell as like an overly powerful catch-up mechanic.
Yes.
I'm going to say the card Hysteria is the blue shell of Hearthstone because I play a bunch of minions and then they play this 3-mana card and then all my stuff is dead immediately and then they play their own stuff.
Yeah.
That's the blue shell. That's yeah. That card doesn't have to cost 3, by the way. That card could cost more than 3.
Yeah.
Throw it out there. Celestalon.
Throw it out there. It definitely could. But the first half of the question, thoughts on mini set predictions. Do we think the mini set is going to aim to kind of bring up some of the classes that we're not seeing a whole lot of?
I hope so. As someone who wanted to play a lot of Murloc Shaman and isn't, I would like Murloc Shaman to get a little bump.
A little bit of love.
A little love. Maybe a little, little draw they can depend on. Maybe a little more Murloc generation. Or, again, give me something that I'm not thinking of.
Murloc cards, please.
I literally never thought that we would be asking for that here on the Angry Chicken. Yeah. Murloc decks used to be just the low-hanging fruit of the Hearthstone world.
I would like to see Druid do anything other than clowns or token. I don't know where it needs to be shored up to make that a reality, but
it does feel like they've been doing token things for a really, really long time and in the exact same sort of way.
I think it is now the target. It wins our Highlander Hunter award for you've been around too long.
Yeah, they printed Glowfly Swarm and Fungal Fortunes in Ashes, and that was a year ago, and we're still doing some of those things. And yeah, those were all Ashes cards, and then they made a Gibberling. Why did they make the Gibberling?
I don't know.
I would have made the Gibberling too. That card's kind of amazing in a vacuum.
Yeah, except when you play against it on turn one. Don't want to do that. I'm all.
You remember the board I screenshotted and sent you last week?
You asked what to do, and I said move on to the next one.
Yeah, I think both of us said bottom right, buddy. Yeah. But I think that there have been other things that have been sort of viable, sometimes more viable, sometimes OP and then nerfed. But like Hadronox, like Taunt Druid was a thing for a while that I really enjoyed. And that seemed to kind of get really big and then really small, really fast. Like that didn't seem to kind of hang around very long.
Oh, I loved Hadronox Taunt Druid. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, and I'd kind of like to see, because the thing about Druid in WoW is that they're just so varied, right? Like, they can literally do everything. They can tank, they can heal, they can range DPS, and they can melee DPS. So, like, they can just do everything. And you don't necessarily want a class in Hearthstone that's going to just full-on do everything.
My God, Druid, just commit already.
I think that there's maybe a space for, like, something that is a little bit more, like, build a wall, like hunker down, be a tank, sort of a mentality, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, they could do that. I mean, they printed the taunt support card. So remember that the first mini set we saw with Darkmoon Races was a proof of concept and it had cards from the entire Year of the Phoenix in it. Mm-hmm. But now they said they're designing 170 cards and 35 of them are the mini set. So it's more to think about what's missing. They made the taunt payoff cards, right? With they made Greybow last set, and this set they have the Battle Guard, the 2-drop that makes your next taunt cheaper. And they have a bunch of taunt matters cards. I expect we see a druid taunty card, and maybe a druid beastie card, and a shaman elementally card, and a shaman murlocky card, and mage probably gets a secret matters card, and so on and so forth. There's probably something for poison rogue, unfortunately, because I like my rogue decks that don't just take a weapon and then smack the other face until somebody dies. But they have a bunch of these. The Baron's sets didn't really make new decks the way that we expected outside of Rush Warrior so much. It was more of the fully finished deck concepts from last year with some extra Baron spice. Mm-hmm. So it makes me feel like there's probably something a little missing from the current archetypes from Baron's, because they made those 35 cards and carved them out, that we might get that is the cherry on top of the archetypes we're hoping to be playable.
I have nothing more to add. Well, what's our who's our last question from, Hat?
Our last question here from Rakamar. Do you think there's any chance that Hearthstone ever adds a class that isn't yet in WoW? Perhaps the fabled Bard class will come to Hearthstone before WoW.
I would love this so much.
Bard would be cool. You two, I think, are do you two D&D? Are you D&Ders?
No, my husband does. He DMs like a whole bunch of games all the time.
I am an Edge of the Empire-er.
What is that?
It's a Star Wars tabletop.
Nerd! Okay.
Damn straight!
Yeah. All right, so we're going to put Stormtrooper in Hearthstone. Jedi in Hearthstone would actually be badass.
Okay, now hold on.
That would actually be super awesome.
Are you ready? I've been in a dunking mood. I don't know if you noticed tonight, but I've had some shots to fire and some dunks to take. All right.
Oh boy.
Are you ready? Are you ready for my dunk on this one? All right. If it is anything like Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone will release its first ever unique addition to the Blizzard ethos, and that next week they will announce the death of Hearthstone's esport.
No! I have to have a soundbite for this. I have to. I'll find it.
It's like, oh man, honestly, that makes so much sense. And it makes me so sad about Heroes. But I don't know. I think it would be really cool if Hearthstone would kind of like branch out on their own. And I mean, I know we just got Demon Hunter and they said that there's no more classes coming in the kind of soon pipeline, but not anything that they've ruled out in terms of bringing us more classes. I think it just has to be unique. And I mean, the Bard class sounds kind of cool, and I don't know enough about D&D to kind of really understand maybe what that would look like. But I mean, I'd also be down for like an innkeeper class. Somehow. Yeah. I don't know exactly what you do, but I mean, I think you could give it a more Hearthstone-y spin, maybe give it some Bardy flavor, because I mean, be like a Bob. Like, everybody loves Bob. Why wouldn't you want to play as Bob? There's got to be something there you could do with, like, having a hero power of serving drinks and buffing your minions or something. I don't know.
Bob's cards would actually be lie to the opposing player. That's Bob's cards, okay? You would play a spell
be
that
sarcastically
says
sarcastically nice.
Yeah, Bob's like pyroblast end the game card would be called. I think you can win this one, pal. Like that's what that's how you design Bob.
Yeah, I could totally see like a bartender sort of thing though. And what Hearthstone would do is they would work backwards from their Hearthstone heroes. They would make a Rafam or a Dr. Boom or a Reno. Well, they've kind of already done Reno. And Elise. That would be some other fusion of other classes and do something different. And they would probably not give it a name. They would name it after that hero. That's kind of the direction they've gone of being really character-driven and callback-y sort of thing. And I could easily see a Rafam hero that's like archaeologist where and they could figure something out there. Lots of discover and burgling.
Yeah, I was going to say, and they could have like a dig for it hero power somehow.
Yeah. Though they did digging hero power in Battlegrounds, had to tweak that one a little bit. It was, yeah.
But I mean, you know, I guess we're kind of coming full circle bringing up Battlegrounds at this point again, which is kind of how we kicked off the show. But I mean, it might be kind of interesting to put some sort of a hero power into the constructed side of things that, you know, whether it's it takes one or two or sorry, two or three or however many turns, but like give you a button to push that doesn't do anything right away, but has a big payoff once you're actually, you know, ready to hit it for the last time. I don't know what that balance looks like. I don't know what it would do, but it would be kind of, it would be that, that piece that would be super unique to constructed Hearthstone that I think is what they need in order to get to the point of making a new class, right? Because I mean, you don't necessarily want to just steal a whole bunch of stuff from other classes to the point that you feel like you aren't unique, or you're just a smooshing together of the other stuff. You want to do totally unique stuff that's really different. And I think that that's where Rakamar is kind of going with this question, because we haven't seen the bard in Warcraft. We haven't seen a bard in Hearthstone. There would be other things you could do, like we mentioned, archaeologists and innkeepers. Like all of these things are outside the normal realm of what Warcraft does, but still Hearthstone-y enough that they could do cool things. And I think that's what you need. You need to get to that point where you've got a fleshed out enough idea that's different enough and doing something cool enough that you're like, all right, this stuff is all neat together, but doesn't fit in with anybody we've currently got. And that's when you make a new class. So I think there's stuff. I think there's still room in the Hearthstone sphere for another class. But I mean, we know we're not getting it anytime soon, but keep your fingers crossed.
And I'd imagine they probably lean into Monk and Death Knight as the next classes in Hearthstone. Like one of those is probably where they go to, as opposed to making a new one out of whole cloth. But we'll see what their design is, because like you said, Joss, we've got some time. Dean has made it clear we've got a couple of years before the next one.
And I will make it clear right now that if the next class is not Death Knight,
I think it'll probably be Monk, honestly, if we're choosing between the two of them. Just because we already had Death Knight hero powers, right? So they've been done kind of ish.
I'll give you a preview of that episode. And the top news this week is Monk has been announced as the new class for Hearthstone. Goodbye forever, everyone. I'll see you never. I'm out. I give up.
It's now the Joss and Hat Show.
Hat.
What? How did I get? How did we get here? How did this happen?
I don't know. I want Death Knight so bad. Monks and the green fart spell effects. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants green monk farts.
They heal you.
They heal you with their farts. I'll get monk farted on
if I don't die. Like, that's worth it.
I want more red pandarens because they have wonderful tails, but I don't need monks before Death Knights. Sorry. I will not allow it. I will not allow it. Plus, we got...
No.
No. Because if they go monks, then we're just going in backwards order from WoW.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And that means before we get to monks, we have to do time travel. And that's unfortunate.
Well, luckily there wasn't a class in the worst thing to ever happen to World of Warcraft. So, yeah.
So they should bring garrisons to Hearthstone.
Oh.
Ugh.
No.
So that's all the time we have for this.
I mean, everyone disliked garrisons because of the antisocial aspect of it, and Hearthstone is not really a social game. So how much harm could garrisons do?
That's what the WoW team said.
All right, listen. Yeah. I love dumping on WoW as much as the next person, but we were all stoked on garrisons for like the first 2 weeks. And they were like, wait a minute, I'm really lonely, y'all. I'm really lonely. Like a preview of 2020 in World of Warcraft. That just got too real.
Somehow we went from ending on a downer to going more down. Fantastic. You know,
certain things align in your brain and you just put them out. I wasn't trying to. It is what it is. World of Warcraft was the Warlords of Draenor was the COVID of World of Warcraft. There we go. I said it. That's where we went.
Wow.
Listen, let it be said, Garrett, that I am an expert at pulling us out of nosedives. I want everyone to revel in how wonderfully I pirouetted out of that downward trajectory. If you would like to write in and celebrate my
amazing capability of segueing away from awkward off-the-cuff comments, do so at tacpodcast@gmail.com. Again, patrons, you can send your questions to us directly on the Discord or via Patreon messages. If you want to become a patron, you want to support this show, you can head on over to patreon.com/TAC. We appreciate the support, everybody. We also appreciate our Patreon producers. So a huge thanks to Declan H., Cheesy Bob, and Jeffrey D. Other than that, if you want to check out the back catalog of the Angry Chicken episodes or get our show notes, there's always a Google Docs link at the bottom of each and every episode post. Head on over to theangrychicken.com. But before we leave, Joss, where can folks find you outside of TAC?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at Joss Plays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. And go and check out my general gaming podcast. It's called The Gamers Inn. We're checking out some really cool stuff. We're kind of diving back into just a whole bunch of older games right now. Stuff that we kind of started and never finished. So come and check it out. We're having a lot of fun over there.
Hat, what about you?
You can find me. The hub of my content is twitter.com/ridiculoushat. You can also find me in any Hearthstone Discord that you're in. I'm probably there right now, been there the whole time. Also, Coin Conceit is one of my other podcasts. Vicious Syndicate is the other podcast. And Hidden Aspects, the other podcast, but that's on hold right now. So you can find those at coinconceit.com or viciouscyndicate.com.
This podcast and every single other one that I produce can be found at amove.tv. I'm Garrett Art on Twitter. And I did want to make a note. I've got some openings for graphic design / general creative commission. So I haven't done this in a while, so head on over to nomoonart.com to see my extremely out-of-date graphic design portfolio. I also do a lot of video editing and creation freelance these days that I basically never talk about, but that's another side gig of mine. So, hey, if you need me to make something cool for you, I am open for the next 2 weeks. I'm taking commissions right now. Head on over to nomoonart.com. Use the contact form on there. It goes directly to my inbox. My phone will make a noise and I will see it. So go. Check.
Hey, Garrett, can I commission you to make me a Rye and Amaro and then just mail it to me?
I believe there's legal ramifications of that. So ask me that question when we're not being recorded in the public can hear.
Of course. How silly of me.
Yes. Yes, of course. Of course. So my answer is definitely no. No.
Audio listeners, he's nodding.
I'm not nodding. What are you talking about? Listen, Hat, you can commission a print of something I've already done. If I happen to include something else in that package as a thank you for your order, that's
totally different.
That's totally different. So, anyways, thank you so much for listening, everybody. We will be back next week. But until then, job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
But it's because you get to, like, grab people by the throat and go, oh, I don't like you. Whack. It's
like
great.
Scorpion. Oh, can we talk about the Mortal Kombat movie? Because that shit was dope.
That was so good. I'm not even going to lie. I was very entertained.
All right, welcome to the pre-show, everybody. We're going to have a quick word on the Mortal Kombat movie. That movie was such a 90s mess, and I loved every freaking second of it.
Oh,
yeah, it was great.
It was the best bad movie I've seen in a really long time.
I thought the effects were half decent. There was only a couple of times. The effects were really good. Yeah, there's only a couple times I was like, okay.
Two things. There's two effects that made me furious with how bad they were. Raiden's eyes,
okay,
which
looked
horrible, and I'm pretty sure I could have done a better job for $5 and 5 minutes in Premiere. and the lightning force field was the laziest visual effect I've ever laid eyes upon.
I was going to say the dude with the four arms. Oh, crap. Goro. What's his name?
Goro.
Yeah. Yeah. I was kind of like, there's a couple times where he looked like he was in a cartoon movie. And like when it was just him, I'm like, oh, now I'm watching a cartoon. Oh, we're back to live action. Okie doke.
There were different shots. The slow-mo shot looks horrible. He just looks like a CG video game character.
Very orky.
Also, there are so many really interesting and cool Mortal Kombat characters, and they made a generic guy for the main character, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me. And his superpower is he has armor.
Ribbons!
That gets hot.
His superpower is ribbons.
He has hot ribbons. Yeah. My favorite, by the way, hot ribbons, my favorite strip club in Miami. Welcome to Hot Ribbons, everybody.
But it was still, like, entertaining. And, I mean, like, there were some plot points that kind of went through and made sense. Like,
yeah,
I liked how they tied some stuff together. And I don't want to, like, spoil a whole bunch of stuff. But, like, I thought that there were some nice little, like, I wouldn't even call them Easter eggs, but just, like, supporting bits. Like, sometimes the plots of those movies are all over the freaking place. But they were like, first 10 minutes, they're like, this guy's a birthmark. He's Justin from Mortal Kombat. Fight! I was like, yes!
Well, the first That's 10 minutes was...
Pacific Rim
was
storytelling like, right there.
First 10 minutes was like Japan samurai fighting badass stuff. Then the Pacific Rim stuff. Yeah. But yes, very entertaining. And every time Kano was on the screen, I was really happy. Like, just all of his quips were so good.
Yeah, and I liked what they did, too, with him, where, like, sometimes his quips were, like, so far in the background you could hardly hear them.
Yeah, like, he's just...
Like, the whole, like, main shot is, like, moving away from him, and he's still talking. I thought that was good. It was fun.
Yeah. I like the one where they're doing the fighting, and he's like, maybe your Ankara is getting your ass kicked by a hat. That was enjoyable.
That was a good one. That was a good one. There was a lot to like about that. I'm with you on like the why bother with that main character. If you were gonna bother with that main character, make them interesting. That main character was so forgettable and like inconsequential.
I don't even remember his name, to be honest.
I agree.
maybe they picked like I wish that they'd picked, you know, anyone else to follow like a bigger, grander, like fantasy type story, but maybe they picked a regular guy to make it more relatable or something.
It was very much like the outsider, so that people had to explain things to him. Mm. But I was also just like, could we have made him a little more interesting? Cause you know, that character exists in a lot of movies and they're more interesting. Yeah.
I mean, I would just love like a Galadriel type like voiceover for 5 minutes at the start of the movie to set the scene. I don't need my main character to be boring as shit to tell me what's going on in the movie.
Can like, I tell you
give
what
me a good narrated voiceover? I'm done. That's it. That's all.
Can I tell you what I really, really, really left that film wanting is for the first time in my life, I don't think I've ever, ever wanted a prequel more. Like, I just want Scorpion's John Wick movie.
Yeah, I wanted to know what their beef was.
No, I just want Scorpion being John Wick.
Like, for the whatever, and I'm like, who are they? What do they do? Why do they speak Chinese and he speaks Japanese? What just happened?
There's actually a lot of great action in that movie, but the best action 100% was blown in the first 15 minutes. Like, Scorpion v. Ninjas was the best action sequence of that whole movie, and it happens in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I think it was.
I would watch that whole. I just want John Wick Scorpion the movie, like just Scorpion just kicking ass, taking not names, taking heads and limbs, and.
Well, it sounds like that happened. Yeah, apparently, he did something to the guy speaking Chinese, who ended up being Sub-Zero.
That actor, by the
name
way,
I can't remember.
That actor, by the way, is a main character in the show I'm watching right now, Warrior, which I love and is amazing, and everyone should watch it because it's maybe canceled. Because the channel it's on went under during COVID.
Oh, no.
So please.
What channel?
Well, now
Not
it's on.
A great sign.
Well, now it's on HBO Max, but it was originally on Cinemax, which HBO owned, but HBO shuttered it during 2020. But you can watch.
We don't have that.
You can watch. We need to get a VPN HBO sponsor because that would be a real. This would be a really great time to mention having a VPN. But we don't have a VPN sponsor. Hey, hit me up, VPN sponsors.
Yeah, and apparently I did hear that too, Mr. Kerfuffle, that Sub-Zero signed on for 3 to 4 more movies. I'm like, all right, let's go.
Into it.
into it.
I guess they'll figure it out.
Well, I mean, like, I think he's probably signed on for 3 to 4 more, like, assuming that they make them, right?
Yeah.
If they like, don't make them, mean they're going to.
But I mean, I've seen mostly positive, considering it's a video game movie, especially. I've seen mostly positive comments about it.
It was delightfully 90s. I got, like, weird, like, R-rated Fast and the Furious vibes from, like, the fun broiness of it. It was like, bro-y in a fun way. Like Limp Bizkit is bro-y. Like I had a good time with it. Like I agree. I have not disagreed with a single piece of criticism I've read about the movie, and I still loved it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right? A lot of the negative comments I've seen, I'm kind of like, you were just watching the wrong movie from the get-go. Like, this was never going to be your jam. It's like some video game reviews that I read that are like, well, I hate platformers and this platformer game was terrible. I'm like, well,
I don't like movies where you're a shark and you just eat people. So let me give you my Maneater review.
Right. Exactly. Sharks are the worst thing in the world. So I'm going to review a shark game. How about depth? Let's go.
I don't like Thirsty Spawns of Hell. Let me give you my Hades review.
Okay. First of all, who doesn't like Thirsty? Second of all, there are other things going on in that video game. All right, you shouldn't. What did you do?
I mean,
a Hades podcast.
Let's be honest. Most people playing Hades are playing it because they're thirsty for the Hades characters, and they're not wrong.
Whatever gets them in the game.